Spirit's presence. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, give us revelation into it so that we could be transformed and changed into the very image of Christ. Hide me behind the shadow of the cross. Let Jesus get all the praise and the honor and glory because it's about him. In your mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, we're coming down to the wire, which doesn't mean anything on teaching, because sometimes we really get into specifics about the book of Revelation that may hold us up. But we're at Revelation chapter 19. But I want to go back to 18 real quick. Remember, that's a flashback. We go from a system to a city and to a nation. We go from a system to a city and a nation. Now God begins to teach us through the Apostle John. He begins to show us that it's not just a system, but it is a city. It's a geographical place. In other words, you can punch in the GPS and you can find this place. And as you know, at the end of the teaching, I believe it is New York City, and I believe it's attached obviously to this nation, which puts us a part of the mystery Babylon and the daughter of Babylon that Isaiah speaks of. But you got to get the CD to get all that teaching. I won't be able to give it all, but just some of the highlights. Remember, verse 1, great authority and permission was given. And then it gave a description of the harlot. It's a place of demon power. Remember, birds of prey or birds that fly and all kinds of caged, demonic powers reside in this place. Remember, the word wrath is passion, has to do with idolatry. And idolatry has many, many facets to it. It can be physical and it could be spiritual. One of the words in verse 3 was delicacies. Remember, that has to do with what? Luxury. But the word with that luxury is strength. So in other words, this was strong luxuries. Amen. Speaking of healing, there's Miriam. God bless you. We love you. We're glad you're here. She tried to tip in, but we ain't going to let her tip in. We're just asking about you. God bless you. Good you're here. And so we're just following up on chapter 18. So wrath is passion, it's idolatry, then the luxury. It's talking about the strength of this luxury. When you look at that word, there's no other nation on the earth like America. There's no wealth like America. Bangkok doesn't have it. Berlin doesn't have it. Think with me. Come on. Rome doesn't have this luxury. Nobody has a luxury like we do. Having traveled to 17 countries of the world, I'm going to tell you something. When you go to these foreign countries and you see what little they live on, it literally used to take me, you can ask Pastor Jennifer, it would take me literally over a month to get back to the American lifestyle, to where I wasn't sick to my stomach with looking at all the stuff we had. I couldn't go into a mall. I couldn't go to a buffet and watch everybody. That doesn't do too good on the CD, but that means eating a lot. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. When you go to these foreign countries and they're barely surviving. And so there's no country like America. So I believe prophetically, scripturally, evidential, historically, that America is Mystery Babylon and the daughter of Babylon. It is a system that now becomes this state. Okay, so we go into that. Remember, verse 8 says, burned to the ground. Literally will be burnt to the ground. 9/11 was a precursor for our nation. What towers were hit? World Trade Towers. Again, that resembled, or it was symbolic. It was part of the beast system. And verse 9 says what? That all the nations will mourn. They will see it. Where is the United Nations? New York City, right down the road from it. So there's too much to go over in that. You have to get the CD to get it all. But I believe that is Mystery Babylon. Now, go to chapter 19. Are y'all ready for this? Man, this right here. This is our shouting time. This is our time to get on our dancing shoes. This is our time to bless the Lord. This is the time to throw our wig off, our weave off, whatever you got holding your hair up, because we're going to shout the glory of God. Chapter 19, verse 1. After these things, I heard a great voice, or a mega voice, or megas, a mega voice of much people in heaven. I'm going to tell you, probably the first person they heard was me. Woo! Look at your neighbor and say, no, I think it was me. Huh? Because if you like quiet, church, you don't belong in heaven. Because listen to what it says. And after these things, after what things? After the whore is destroyed. Y'all didn't get it. That's a chance for you to shout. You see, God doesn't look, God looks at things differently than you and I do. God is looking forward to the day when destruction comes to Mystery Babylon. He's looking for the day when he finally gets to put his foot where it belongs underneath the beast. Come on now, he's waiting for it. Our God is a God of vengeance. He's a God that wants to, he wants to vindicate you and me. He wants to settle the score. He doesn't like one day that babies are destroyed in abortion clinics around the world. He doesn't like a day of it. But time has to roll and things have to take place. That's why we sit back and say, God, where are you, man? Why, where were you? God says, I'm here the whole time. You just hang on. I'm gonna fix this. And after, you ever have mom and dad said, you just wait till daddy gets home, or you just wait till mama gets home? I used to hate that. How about you? Especially when mom said, dad's coming. Come on now. We gotta look up in heaven and say, or look down to the devil, one or the other, and say, look, daddy's coming home. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah! Oh, you all ain't ready to go to heaven. Hallelujah! Salvation, glory, honor, and power unto the Lord our God. Woo, that ought to be church, sir. How come we got to wait to heaven to do that? We can't even do it here on earth. Come on now. We ought to walk in here every Sunday, every Wednesday, every fellowship, every work Saturday. No, I can't get you to do that. Wouldn't that be awesome if I saw you and said, hallelujah, we're going to work. Wouldn't that be awesome? Praise God, we're going to paint this wall. That would be beautiful. But I know it doesn't work on Saturday work day. But think about this. Look at it with me again. They heard a great voice of much people. Much people. The word much there means throngs. It means many. It means just about in number. The inability to number them. I'm getting so excited I can't stand myself. Salvation, glory, and honor, and power unto the Lord our God. Look at this. This is a template of the way we ought to have service. This is the way we ought to walk in on Sunday morning. Listen to this. The spirit of expectancy is the breeding ground for miracles. If you don't expect anything from God, guess what? You don't get anything. But if you expect a breakthrough and a blessing every time you get into the presence of God, guess what? Something good's going to happen to you. So he says salvation, glory, and honor. And I want you to see this word honor, because this is very, very cool. The word honor is spelled T-I-M-E. T-I-M-E, just like time, but it's pronounced time. It's pronounced time. And it means this. It means that there is a price that is already fixed, a valued price that's already fixed. In other words, when we give honor to God, he's already got a price on himself. He's already got a value. Our praise has to match it. Woo! Glory to God. And I'm going to tell you something. When you know, I've said this so many times from the pulpit, there's a sound God is looking for in the body of Christ. There's a sound of faith in you. There's a sound of praise that matches his worth. And honey, when we get to that place where we match his worth, heaven falls down. Glory falls down. Miracles explode. You want to know the key to revival? The key to revival is not having some slick hair, shiny shoe preacher come in here. Come on, that can wax elegantly and preach and signs and wonders. The key to revival is to match our praise with his value. Will somebody help me with that? And that's what heaven's doing right there. Verse 1 is exploding because the glory of God is on the folks, man. Woo, I'm telling you right now. Somebody says, well, you don't have to get excited. God's not deaf. Well, he's not hard of hearing and he's not scared either. I mean, you know, he don't mind you praising him. He don't mind you shouting. We'll see if it happens Sunday. Verse 2. See, because most people shout and praise the Lord when they get something good, they get a check or they get a blessing, whatever. Man, you got to learn how to praise the Lord at all times. Verse 2, got to go on. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he has judged the great whore. Who's saying this? The throngs, the multitude is blessing the Lord. The multitude is praising. They're honoring God. They're saying, God, you have done this thing. See, you don't realize, and I don't really realize how much God hates sin, how much God really hates the sinning and what sinners do and what this beast system is doing to the nation. See, God wants it to where that every man lives free in Him. And we have destroyed it. We've destroyed it with our laws. We've destroyed the freedom of relationship and commerce. You know, interest wasn't supposed to be a part of our lives. Do you know that? Levitically, we're not supposed to have interest. We're not supposed to charge one another interest. But because we've been brought into that Babylonian system, you owe me and then you owe me some more. See, if we really understood Jubilee, if we really understood Jubilee in the body of Christ, we'd forgive one another. Come on now. We would just go ahead and cancel our accounts. We can fix the economy. Just start forgiving people. Just start paying dues and doing each other fair and doing the proper business. 24% interest, 36% interest. It's insanity. And now there's debt prisons being opened up. Did you know that? Did you know recently the United States Marshals went in and arrested a man in Texas for a school loan that he had since the 80s? And it was only $1,500. The U.S. Marshals folk kicked down the door and arrested the brother. I don't know why I went there. But that's just the reality where we are. Debt prisons are prisons are happening again. They started in Alabama, different places. What's going on? The love of money is the root of all evil. I don't know why I went there. But if somebody owes you something, forgive them. If you can, forgive them, at least in your heart. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judge the great whore which did corrupt. Here it is. Which did corrupt. We are corrupted by money. It corrupted the earth with her fornication and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. What the word avenge means? It means he's vindicated. He's vindicated. Come on. The wrath and all these things that God has set aside for your enemies is all his doing in his plan. Vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord, I will repay. Don't plot it out. Did you know what bitterness is? Bitterness is unfulfilled revenge in your heart. Bitterness will make you sick. Bitterness will give you cancer. Bitterness will give you arthritis. Bitterness will destroy you. Bitterness is bitter to the bone and to the body. I don't know why I'm saying all that, but it's free. Amen. Look at verse 3. And again they said, Hallelujah! Not too good, huh? Not too good. I'm not a good singer. But I can sing Hallelujah. Look at this. This is the Hallelujah choir. They're still praising the Lord. They're still blessing Him. What do they say? And again they said, Hallelujah. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. Now that's not literal. It just means it's over. Write it down on your paper. It's over. It's over. It's finished. Forever and ever. In other words, the Babylonian system, this whore, this beast system is destroyed forever and forever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts, or remember the 4 living creatures, fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne. You want me to hold it right there? Okay, sat throne and saying what? Amen and Hallelujah. In other words, so be it and praise the Lord. What's that? Speaker isn't working. Okay, well, can you hear? Okay, well, I live in a cave. You didn't know that? I'm a caveman. Yeah, I'm not a man cave. I got all kinds of caves in the house. So let's go on. I'll try to scream louder for Carla. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne and said, Amen, Hallelujah. In other words, so be it. Praise God forever. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Praise the Lord forever. Look at verse 5. And a voice came out of the throne. And a voice. Now picture this with me. We're all in heaven. We're praising the Lord, man. We're shouting. They're trying to get me to quiet down. I'm pushing Mike back. Mike's pushing me back. And we're hollering before the throne. Then all of a sudden, out of the throne comes what? This voice, a booming voice. Now, we don't know who this necessarily is, but I'm just going to go ahead and ad lib and put this in there. I believe it's the choir director of heaven. I don't know who he is, but he's just going to storm out of there and listen to what it says in verse 5. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God. All you His servants and you that fear Him, both small and great. Man, I love that right there. The choir director. See, even in heaven, God's got to have somebody leading you as a cheerleader, doesn't He? But the choir director comes out and he says, folks, you know, we just going to praise the Lord. We just going to shout the victory. Now you talk about having a, you remember the sporting stadiums, or whatever, and they have the wave and everybody doing something. This is the ultimate wave, man. The director just comes out and says, praise our God. Oh man, if I could shout like I really wanted to, I would. I'm afraid I'll break the windows. But look here in verse 6. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to that again. Let's read that again. And I heard as it was the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and the voice of many a mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah. I can only give you one testimony of being close to this in my entire life. Several years ago, I was invited to go to Bishop Obadio's church. If you've never heard about him, look it up. It's Canaan Land in Nigeria. It's the largest church in the world underneath one roof. They have 50,000 people underneath one roof. The largest church is Dr. Cho's, where they have several million, but they don't have that many under one roof. And when I was there at the conference, there were over 400,000 Africans there. There was only like five white guys. You want to talk about beautiful. You want to talk about amazing. And I was one of the five that were there. But 400,000 people were lined up outside of the building, and the praise and the worship was so loud that when I went to bed at night, it was like somebody put a seashell in my ear and all I heard was until I fell asleep. That's the most amazing experience I ever had in my Christian walk with believers, watching people praise the Lord, standing outside in the African sun for 2 or 3 hours, grabbing hold of a tree, crying out to God. I can't even get people to sit in a chair for an hour. Come on, somebody, in padded pews. And so that was an amazing experience. So I'm reminded about this as I look at verse 6. And I heard as it were a voice of a great multitude, a mega, megas multitude, as a voice of many waters, just like I showed you. And the voice of mighty thundering saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Woo-wee! Hallelujah. Come on, can we just get that spirit in us here? We're born again now. Heaven's inside of us. The Lord God, omnipotent, He reigneth. What do you mean omnipotent? He's all powerful. The word reigneth means He's King of all. Woo, glory to God. So He's King of my body. He's King of my health. He's King of my wealth. He's King of my mind. He's King of my relationships. He's King of everything. But see, we gotta wait to heaven to act that way. I believe that's hypocritical. We ought to do it now. We ought to learn how to praise God now. We ought to learn how to bless Him. Listen, I'm not waiting for revival. I'm in revival. I'm doing what heaven's doing right now. I'm acting like they're acting in the presence of God, and I don't even see Him. This is what's hypocritical to me about the church. Got to bring somebody in to pump up the saints, to get them saved and get them fired up. Honey, I'm already fired up. I'm born again to the bone, filled with the Holy Ghost. Woo. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Is this Wednesday night? But when you read heaven, how can you not have heaven in you? Oh, Lord, omnipotent reigneth, means the Almighty God. They're still partying, verse 6. Notice from verse 1 to verse 6, they still partying, they still shouting, they still blessing God. Verse 7. Why are they shouting? Let us be glad and rejoice. Look what it says here. Let us be glad. That means take off the brakes, throw off all restraint, let us. Come on now. Let's do this thing. Let us be glad and rejoice. Why? Because the whore, the unclean murdering beast system is dead. It goes all the way back to the garden. It goes all the way back to Nimrod. It goes through all the kingdoms of the world until the last kingdom on earth. And God says, I'm done with it. And all of heaven says, Amen! Hallelujah. finally, the beast and the rider, finally the Antichrist, finally that old dog, the devil, finally that one who's been making you sick and the one making our families crazy and the one that's been murdering, finally dead. Verse 7 talks about it. Finally, this is done. And guess what happens? This old whore, this woman is dead. But guess what? There's another woman coming on the scene. Woo-wee! It's the other woman. Verse 7, look. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. Oh, let's go to Ephesians real quick, chapter 5. Let's look at our wedding vows real quick. Come on. Woo. That old whore's gone. Now here comes that beautiful, priceless virgin. Come on. Listen, I'm a man. I don't know how I'm going to be wearing white, but I'm going to look good in it. I might have a hard time walking on high heels, but I'm going to do something to get in there. Come on, church. I don't know how it's all going to work out. I think Mike's going to look good in the veil. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm not going to spend a lot of time there because we've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. Verse 21. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband, not every man, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is what? The head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Look what it says here. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ has loved the church and gave himself for it. Inside this teaching of proper marriage is the realization and the understanding of Christ and how he feels about you and I. See, next time someone messes with you, you just call upon your husband. You call upon the name of the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ has loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. So how does the church get clean? By the word. Who sanctifies you? Not Jesus. The word does. He presents the sanctification process to you, but you're the one that has to jump into the bath. Did you know that the queen spent over a year of getting prepped and prepared and pampered and all those things before they ever saw the king? Could you imagine taking an olive bath? Look at Queen Esther. For over a year, she took an olive bath in and out and fragrances and had her hair plaited and all that stuff. She had to be completely purified before she spent one night with the king. Woo-hoo! Woo! Glory to God. We're preparing, honey. Don't bother me. I'm doing bath time. I'm getting my nails ready. Amen. Don't mess with me. I'm getting ready to go see the king. That he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. Could you imagine your wedding day and you come in dungarees? What'd you say? Who? Say that again. Spotted. That's right. Spotted. All spotted up. You know, I'd still marry you if you came in those. But it would look kind of dumb, wouldn't it? I'm in a tuxedo and she's got dungarees. Spotted. Ripped up. I still marry you. Look what it says here. That anybody presented a husband himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. Everybody say without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth even as the Lord the church. I'm so glad God takes care of us. Look, it says in verse 30. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. Do you see that with me? We are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. I'm connected to the structure of Jesus. So this is deep. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall join unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is the great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the what? Church. Go back to Revelation 19. So it's the marriage supper of the Lamb. So we are connected to his body, connected to his flesh, we're connected to his bones. So the great whore is dead. Now there's a marriage supper of the Lamb, and his wife, I want you to see this, has made herself ready. How do we get ready? Just like the queens of old, just like Queen Esther, we get ourselves prepared. We take the word and we let it wash us, and we get the sin out. We get the habits out. If it says don't do this, we don't do it. Well, everybody else is. No, honey, I don't care what everybody else is doing. I'm going to a wedding and I want to look good. Come on, I want to, first of all, it ain't got nothing to do with trying to look good. You ain't getting in if you don't have this on. She made herself ready. Look at your neighbor, say, get ready. Get ready. Come on now. Get ready. You can't just go in there any way you want to. You got to go in there the way you've been invited. I'll prove it to you. Verse 8. And to her was granted. Everybody say granted. That she be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. Fine linen, clean and white. Listen, I may not be able to shop at Nordstrom's right now, but my heavenly Father's done picked me out an outfit for the wedding. Woo-wee! And it's fine linen and it's white. Glory to God. Maybe you all can shop at Nordstrom's. Maybe you're wearing Gucci's and I'm wearing Gucci's. But I'll tell you what, in heaven, I got me something already tailored, figured out. Come on. God already knows my height. He knows my waistline. He knows everything about me. He's got it all figured out. And I'm going to be in my glorified body, so it ain't going to matter. But look what he says here. Clean and white. I want you to write down the word white. We've studied this word before, but I want to give it to you again. It's lampros, L-A. M-P-R-O-S, lampros. That's 2986, lampros. It's very important because the word white there means brilliant shining. We studied this before in the beginning of the book of Revelation about receiving the garments. So it's not only going to be fine linen, it's also going to be shining and brilliant. Give you another translation of that word, and I just preached it on Sunday. You ready? Transparent. See, I have to be transparent on earth as I'm going to be in heaven. If you don't know what I'm talking about, get the CD and understand that my life as David's life is supposed to be transparent. Everything in heaven will be transparent. Isn't that beautiful? There ain't going to be no wondering. There ain't going to be no lying. There isn't going to be no white lies and all these different gray areas people try to get around you and me on. No, no, it's going to be transparent. So they're going to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and transparent, or lampros. It's going to be gleaming and shining. Look what he says here. For the fine linen is what? The righteousness of saints. It's going to be our righteousness. What are we going to be wearing? Righteousness. What is righteousness? Right standing with God. I'm transparent. The glory you're going to see on me is shining through from him, and it's going to be not my own, but his. Glory. I love it. I love it. I love it. It's going to be nice to talk to somebody who's righteous. That's what I love about church folk. I love talking to people who love God, who are righteous, who are transparent. It's the sweetest conversation to ever have than to talk with some old wolf. Don't look around. Verse 9. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called. You need to underline and understand this. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Why is that important? Because the word there for called in the Greek, translate this way, called by name. If your name ain't in the book, you ain't at the marriage. If you ain't invited and you don't have an invitation, you don't show up. Why? Because dirty can't come in. That's why when people say, I wonder if he was a Christian. You know what I'm talking about. Some big cheese ball, somebody dies, and the first thing you hear is, I wonder if they were saved. Oh, well, let's see. The last movie had this. Help me, church. The last album, the lyrics were this. The last 12 wives were, help me, church. You know what I mean. Relationships, whatever. If you got a guess about somebody being born again, you know what I'm saying? The Bible says you'll know them by their fruit. If you say he was born again and he was a wonderful orange tree and all he had was bananas and grapes hanging off, no, I don't think so. But look here, let's go on past that. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage. Called by name. Don't you love that song, He Knows My Name? To the marriage supper of the Lamb, and saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. In other words, I'm not going to lie to you. This is the truth. This is the patent truth. You've got to have your name called. You got to have your name on the roll up yonder. Remember the old Baptist preacher? She's always preached that. You got to have your name on the roll. We don't talk about that anymore because we believe we can just slide in any way we want. You know, I gave enough money this year. I'm pretty good with God. I helped the old lady across the street. Hey, old, the man upstairs. I can't stand when they use that, the man upstairs. First of all, he ain't a man. He don't live upstairs. He owns it all. Verse 10, let me go on. And I fell at his feet to worship him. Look at this. I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see that thou do it not. Can I tell you something? This is what we do in church today. This is what we do. We worship preachers. We worship pastors. We worship the guys on television. Come on, somebody. We have all these attitudes that, you know, there's honor, and I'll teach about honor that the Bible shows you, but there's something wrong in the church when we worship men and women of God. And what happened to John? John wasn't falling into sin. John was just overwhelmed. Could you imagine seeing all this? And John's just like, well, praise God! And he just starts worshiping anybody he can find. But that's not what happened as far as what the angel wanted to happen. He said, look, see, you don't do that. That's what we ought to be telling church folk. We ought to be telling church folk, don't put your eyes on me. Don't put your eyes on our ministry. Put your eyes on Jesus. Do what you're supposed to do. Honor the man of God. Follow the word. Do it as though Jesus was here. But don't honor these guys. That's how you get fooled. That's how deception comes in. That's why people send all kinds of money all over these places to get a CD, hoping that that magic CD is the gizm, the breakthrough. Honey, that CD can't break through for you. The anointing and the word can. I'm not against ministries that do that. What I'm against is when we market ministry and market the anointing, and people don't have discernment to know the difference between finding the truth by yourself through the Holy Spirit and then or worshiping somebody. But look what he says here. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren. There's your lithium test right there. If you can't find a minister that says, hey, wait a minute, I'm your fellow servant, I'm your brethren, you need to be careful. Because many churches today, many high-rolling preachers, come on now, they want servants, they want to be lifted up, they want to be carried in. Now, all I want you to do is carry your cross, carry your load, do what you're supposed to do, and go get a paintbrush. Until we get done painting, then we're going to go out in the harvest field, amen? We got other work to do. I got to get off this wall. We got work to do. But we got to get it ready for the sheep, because they're coming. They're coming. God promised us that. Look at this. And I'm of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Here it is. Here's another part of that key of not worshiping preachers that have the testimony of Jesus. What is the testimony of Jesus? The witness of Jesus. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Witnessing testifies and prophesies that Jesus both died, he lived, he died, and he rose again, and he's coming back, and this word is true. For the spirit of prophecy is not saying yay, hey, nay, nay over you. To be honest with you, the true spirit of prophecy is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and being a witness to the word, the cross, and everything that Jesus said in the Bible. That's the spirit of prophecy. See, I wouldn't give you a wooden nickel for somebody that goes around yay, nay, 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 because I can hear from God myself. Now, what you're going to tell me will confirm what God already told me, or what you're telling me isn't from the Lord. See, I don't have time, but ISM, you come to one of our ISM classes, I'll teach you on prophecy and what is of God and what is coming out of somebody's spirit. It's called a familiar spirit. So let me go on, but most people don't understand this. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So the spirit of prophecy is what? Witnessing for Jesus. I'm prophesying. Really, the word prophesy means to proclaim, to declare and decree. So Mike, every time you go up into the jails, you're prophesying. What are you prophesying? Jesus Christ. No, but see, most church folks, they got to hear, thus saith the Lord, you're great, you're great. Honey, I already know I'm great. Oh, I wish I had somebody help me here today. The Bible says you're awesome, amen. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. If you say something about that, you're just confirming what I already know. Verse 11. I know it's nice to have a pickup though, isn't it? It's nice for somebody to confirm it. But I'm just trying to kill the golden calf. Really. The golden calves of people get caught up in all this stuff. Alright, verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse. Now notice this. All the other times that we looked at Jesus coming, we saw what? A cloud. We don't see the cloud no more because we know we've been raptured in Revelation chapter 11. So it's no longer a cloud. It's now a horse. Okay? Notice the horse is what? It's a white horse. Why is that important? Because we know in Revelation chapter 6, we have what? Around verse 4, we have the false peace or the Antichrist coming as one of the four horsemen. Is that right? That is right. Revelation chapter 6 verse 1 all the way down talks about the four horsemen, but the first one is white, which is a false peace because he has what? He has a bow with no weapons, no arrows. So he has a form of war, but he brings peace that is false. So can't go back and teach on that. You have to listen to that to get it. But I saw now heaven open and a white horse, not a cloud. So it is now the conquering horse, which is who? Jesus Christ. And he that sat upon him was what? Faithful and true. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. Revelation 3 verse 14 talks about him being true, the true witness and being righteous. You can go back and look at it, okay? So that's one of the titles of Jesus. So this is the real white horse, man. This is the conquering horse. I don't have time. I wish I did. But Zechariah 9:9, when you have a chance, go back there because that will confirm what I'm about to say. And I've said this before. Jesus came on a donkey in the beginning, but he's coming as a conquering king on a white horse at the end. Zechariah 9:9 talks about him as a prophecy. What does it do? It prophesies about Jesus. Isn't that the spirit of prophecy? Prophesies about Jesus, about him coming into Jerusalem and coming to into being on what? A donkey. So this is the problem. Most churches live with Jesus on a donkey. Honey, I'm preaching and living with the reality. He's on a white horse. Come on now. He is my shepherd. He holds the lamb when the lamb's leg is broken. I got all that. And he's still that shepherd king. But honey, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, not to come, but right now. And how you view him now will determine how he lives in your reality. You can go home on that right now if you want to. Because that'll shake up your whole theology. Because I don't live in the thoughts that Jesus is still on the cross, honey. I live on the thought that he's been rose from the dead. He sprinkled the mercy seat. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Come on, somebody! Woo! Changes your whole perspective. Most churches need to do a 360. They just need to get a whole new perspective of God. Instead of stuck in this 90 degree angle that we have of God. He's so awesome. Let me go on for you. Get mad at me and want to go home. And I saw heaven open and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. God will be right when he judges. Amen. Whew, I love that. He will be right when he judges. Verse 12, here we go. This is my Jesus. I don't know what kind of Jesus you serve. I don't know what they serve down the road in ABC Church, but I'm going to tell you how we serve him at Ignited, and this is why we're Ignited. His eyes were as a flame of fire. Come on. You know what that fire is? That fire is not vengeance. That fire is passion. That fire is love. Come on now, that's who you pray to. You're praying to a Savior whose eyes are full of fire for you and vengeance against your enemies. God don't like it when you and I get knocked around physically in our health, emotionally, in our mind, in our finances. He don't like none of that. He looks with passion and says, I want you healed. Everybody that came in encounter with Jesus was healed. Huh? If there was a funeral, he broke it up. I bet every mortuary hated him. Huh? Every time he walked out, get up! Come out! Take your bed! Come on now. This is Jesus we're talking about, buddy. I mean, throw them crutches down, boy. Could you see him walking in our hospitals? Come on. He ought to see us walking in the hospitals. I'll tell you a real quick testimony. One of my favorite preachers, R.W. Shambach, who's now shouting. He's one of these guys shouting. And I remember him talking to testimony time. And I love tents. I'm a tent preacher, and I love tents. Brother Mike loves tents. And he was preaching, and he said, you can do these same things. Talking about the anointing and the healings and what Jesus did. And he gave out free oil. So one boy full of the Holy Ghost just got saved, took the oil, went to a local hospital, and he cleared out two or three levels of the hospital until they finally ran him out and said, you're destroying our business. He just laid hands and said, you're healed. And they said, well, I'm healed. They get up and they leave. The doctor just came in and said, why are you leaving? The doctor just came in and said, I'm healed. I love it. We need to practice our faith. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, say diadems. These are crowns that were he inherited. These were his. They were those crowns he laid down. What are the crowns? You ready for this? The crowns were healing. Because by his stripes we were made whole. The crown is of eternity. Why? Because forever he lives to make intercession for us. The crowns are conquering crowns. He conquered our heart, so he wears the crown of our heart. I mean, so many different descriptions here. These are inheritance. He wore many crowns, and listen to this, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He had a name that was written that only he knew. Now, let me share this with you real quick. You and I are going to have that same opportunity. Go back and look. You don't have time right now, but write it down. Revelation chapter 2, verse 17 says what? We're going to get a new name on our white stone of acquittal. Did you know that? When we go to heaven, there is going to be a white stone, which is in the Old Testament and even New Testament time of judgment. If the judge put out a white stone, you were acquitted. Woo-wee! Revelation chapter 2 verse 17 says we're going to not only get acquitted, but we're going to get a new name. So if your name is Bartholomew and you don't like it, or you're Agnes the Second, guess what? You get a new name on a white stone. Don't spend all the money getting your name changed out of the local courthouse. Just die and go to heaven and you'll get a new name. Or get raptured and go to heaven, I should say. Don't go nowhere. I'm just saying, you know, get raptured and we'll get a new name. Isn't that great? Revelation chapter 3 verse 12 says what? It says that we also get a new name, the name of God. And we get the name of the new Jerusalem. Man, I'm going to be called so many names when I get to heaven. This is going to be glorious. But these are going to be good names. Amen. So whatever you're thinking about calling me, you better hush. Because I'm getting a new name. But look what it says here, verse 12 again. His eyes were flame as fire, his head was flame of fire, and upon his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Now the rabbis teach this. This is a very interesting teaching, and this is just a little side note. The rabbis teach that we are not allowed to properly pronounce Jehovah, that we don't know how to. That's why they spell the name Jehovah, Y-H-V-H. YHVH. And the reason for that is they believe that during the Babylonian captivity, the pronouncement was lost. So they don't say Jehovah. You ever been online or read somebody's writing and they'll say YHVH? They only can say Adonai in place of Jehovah because they believe nobody knows how to say that name. That's the attachment to that right there. I'm just giving it to you as a side note. Hey, he's Jesus to me. He's Adonai. He's Jehovah. He's Yahweh. He's El Shaddai. Come on, somebody. Jehovah Rafika. He's my healer. Man, he's everything to me. But according to them, that's how they feel. All right, so that's a little side note. Don't cost you anything for that information. Verse 13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. What's his name? The Word of God. Go to the Word. Go to the Word. Go to the Word. Verse 14. Now, this is going to be a little bit different translation than you have, because I have a different translation of the Bible. Are you ready? Verse 14. And Benjamin Faircloth were in the... Y'all don't have that? And Benjamin Faircloth, which were in heaven, followed him upon white horses. It says it right there, Benjamin Faircloth. Y'all don't have that translation? You better get your name in there. You better do it. And the armies which were in heaven, that's me and you. Woo! So you may look like Gomer Powell with a helmet on, but you're in that army. Golly. And the armies which were in heaven, come on, that's us, followed him upon white horses clothed in fine linen, white, lampros, there's the word again, transparent, shining, gleaming, and clean. Notice this, only one vesture had blood on it. Because it's not us, it's him. Don't get this crazy militant mindset, we're going to kill somebody, it's my kid, help my mother-in-law. No, I hope I see somebody that wronged me. Honey. Pure, clean, white. We just gonna be riding with him. Huh? Everybody that's been in this church for a little while, Judah said one day, a year ago? Huh? No, he was little. He was little. He didn't have any understanding of the Bible at all. And he said, Daddy, you know what? He said, when Jesus comes back, I'm gonna be riding a bull. Remember that? I came and told the whole church. And I'm like, cool. I didn't rebuke him and say, well, theologically, son, that can't happen. I was like, amen, praise God. Huh? I mean, all I know is that the horse I'm going to have, it better be big. It better be one of them Clydesdales. But the thing of it is, he said, I'm going to ride a bull. You know what? I think God will let Judah ride a bull. A white bull. It has to be a white bull. The horns have to be cut down a little bit. Nobody get hurt. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't know what God would do. I got to say one more thing. Because, you know, kids always say the wildest thing. How many of y'all remember DC Talk? DC Talk. The other day we were listening to Jesus Freak. I just now introduced them to DC Talk. And they're like, you know, they've been gone for a while. And Jesus Freak comes on, and Abby comes to mom later on and says, I'm upset. And it's like, what's wrong? I'm not a Jesus Freak. I'm his friend. And I was like, cool. Cool. Anyways, those things are free. So kids are awesome, aren't they? I love hearing children. I love hearing what they have to say. Okay. So let me go on. So white, fine linen, and clean. Notice, he is the one dipped in blood. Verse 15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that which with it he should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Literally, it means this. You ready? To squeeze the nations. He's going to squeeze the nations. Everybody has this mindset that God is sitting on, you know, it's a Cracker Barrel scene. He's up there playing checkers, and he's going back and forth in front of the fireplace on his rocker. I'm sorry. He's an almighty God, and he's going to squeeze the nations for what they're about to do. Verse 16 says this, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of all lords. Woo! Glory to God. Not just king of all kings and Lord of all lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying, to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves unto the supper of the great God. Let me tell you something. There's two marriage suppers. The first marriage supper is of the Lamb. The second one is the marriage supper of the buzzards. You need to choose. Your family needs to choose which one you're going to be a part of. You're either going to be a marriage supper with the lamb, or you're going to be supper for a buzzard. But literally, the buzzards, the birds, the fowls of the heavens, of the earth, shall come to this one location. It is already known scientifically, and it's already history, and it's evidence that these types of birds normally migrate through Jerusalem, through Israel, no longer do so. They have stayed. I've taught this about a year ago in this church. Those vultures who used to land in Israel and go on no longer traverse out. They stay. Why? They're getting ready for dinner. That's amazing. But it's all true. Okay, so let's go on. Ah, isn't God awesome? And verse, aren't you glad you're going to be in the marriage supper of the Lamb? That's where I'm going. I'm going to make sure I look good. I'm going to get everything cleaned up and straightened out. Amen. All right, so you have a choice. Verse 18. That you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and all them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. What is this? This is the battle of Armageddon. When I began to read to you verse 11, that was the beginning of Armageddon. Okay? Verse 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and the army and against his army. Can you imagine this? Everything they just saw, everything they witnessed about God, they're still going to take their armaments and turn them towards this mighty army that has just now came through the very veil of reality. And they're going to start shooting at us, at him. This is amazing to me, but it shows you the depth of man's sin. Look at verse 20. We're going to get out of here in a minute. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. And they were cast, what? They both were cast alive. Everybody say alive. Into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. There's a reason they're cast in such a way, and we'll get to that later. But they were cast alive into the lake of fire. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And all the what? The fowls were filled with their flesh. Now go to Zechariah chapter 14. If you would give me 5 more minutes and I will leave you alone. Can you do that? This one I don't want you to read on your own. I want to read it for a moment. So this is the battle of Armageddon. What happens? Jesus speaks a word. And all of a sudden, these entities, these armies, these alien armies of the Antichrist are completely destroyed. But I want to show you how he's going to do it. So I'm going to read kind of fast because I need to get these scriptures to you and then I'm going to go. Behold, verse 1, Zechariah chapter 14, verse 1. I might skip around. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather how many nations? All nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in a day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 is the second coming of Christ. He's not going up, coming down, going up, coming down. He is going to meet us in the clouds. He's going to call us, and then he's coming back at Armageddon. And it says, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove towards the north, and half of it towards the south. So a great earthquake. And you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azazel. Yea, you shall flee, like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with him, or with thee. Who's that? That's us. Judah on his bull. Amen. And us. Amen. Verse 6. Somebody go home and tell somebody. I know. Did you know somebody around the bull in the Bible? And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, nor day nor night, but it shall come to pass that evening time it shall be light. In other words, his glory is going to be there. And it shall be in that day that living water shall go out from Jerusalem, half towards the former sea and half towards the hinder sea, in the summer and in the winter it shall be. Let's go down to verse 12 for sake of time. Look at this. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite how many? All the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, in other words, their sockets, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. What I've just described to you is possibly some type of nuclear explosion. But what it is that when Jesus takes the sword of his mouth and he says, that's it. Everybody standing that fought against him will be completely consumed in the matter that Zechariah prophesied. I'm going to tell you something. I am going to be on the winning side with Jesus. I'm praying my family. Oh, God, let's pray. God, I just pray right now for our families. I pray for, this is no game. This is no sermon, no joke. Father, there are souls right now that are weighing in the balance all over this community, all over the city, nation, and world. We have family members right now that are wayward. We have family members, Father God, that are suicidal. We have family members, Father God, that are on the brink. I pray in Jesus' name that you would send a roadblock of the Holy Ghost of God to them right now, Father God. I speak to this cross in Jesus' name, and I declare in your mighty name, every name, Father God, they shall be saved, sanctified, and fill the Holy Ghost, Father. Draw them to you, Father. Bring them to the intersection of life. Let them have a collision with the Word of God. Let them have a collision with a mighty man or a mighty woman of the Holy Ghost that will share the gospel of Jesus Christ and share salvation with them, Father God. We pray this and we believe this and we plead the blood over every family member represented right here. I don't care if it's a cousin, distant, removed. I pray for household salvation. Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We did that. And now your whole house shall be saved. Father, we stand on that word and we thank you. They will be a part of the great army of God. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hey, I love you dearly. You're healed. You're blessed. I'll